The following program is a commentary program. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station. It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN online at WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
All right, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time, 8:07 here on your Friday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. The phone numbers, if you want to jump on board, 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. Let's talk to our good friend, State Senator Cam Ward down from Shelby County. We've got a couple of things to talk about with him right now.
Let's talk about the prison system here for just a quick second. I came across a story that made me think of you the other day, and it talked about 86 correctional officer trainees graduating this week, and they face an inmate-to-officer ratio twice the national average. So 86 folks graduated to become correctional officers. Does that even offset what's coming? The number of people that leave, or is this to build up? What do the 86 officers tell you?
It just keeps you floating in the water. What those officers do, they represent pretty much is keeping up for the growth in the prison population. I was, just to give you an example, Dale, I was at St. Clair Correctional Facility, which is a maximum security facility, and I was walking in the yard with a couple officers one day, and they're wearing, of course, blue uniforms. And you look around, of course, they're unarmed. They have to be on the yard floor. And you look out there, and there were 85 inmates, and there were these two officers. And you say, how in the world can you guys possibly maintain and manage 85 inmates? And they said, to be honest with you, we really don't. I mean, we're just kind of caretakers, but they at any time they could do anything they wanted to with this facility, and we don't have the manpower to stop them.
Well, Stacey George was on Matt Murphy's show earlier today here on WAPI, and I from what I heard, he basically acknowledged he is a guy running for governor. He's also a correctional officer. He basically acknowledged, he said, we're babysitters. I mean, that's essentially it.
Well, he's on the front line, so he understands. He's on the front line, so he does understand it. I'll give that to him. I'll read his comments, and I think some of his comments coming from that of a correctional officer, he's right. I mean, they really are.
You mentioned that the numbers you just mentioned were like 85 to 2. The inmate to security officer ratio in Alabama is actually 11 to 1. The national
and that's actually a little skewed to the good, because that also includes administrative staff, people who aren't necessarily in the yard or dealing with day-to-day contact, but they're more administrative-type positions. So I think it's even a little bit higher or worse than that. But, yeah, that's a tough ratio, particularly in maximum security facilities.
So 11 to 1 compared to a national average of 5 to 1, you say that's a little skewed. And with the interesting part that I find out of all of this is you tried to do stuff about this in the legislature and you got nowhere.
Yeah, and I think I really believe, and I've been working and actually reaching out and traveling the state a little bit and talking with people. I think in 2015 we either it's going to be a sink or swim type moment. We're going to either do something in 2015, or we're just going to raise the white flag and surrender to the federal government, which I sure hope we don't do that. But I think the biggest issue, though, Dale, has been awareness, because you have so many politicians who still look at politics through the prism of 1980s and 90s, where it was popular to lock up everybody and throw away the key regardless of the crime, regardless of what they did. And now that's coming back home to roost for us, because we can't possibly financially afford to maintain that system.
You know, I think you hit a good point there, Senator Ward. I believe, honestly, that people do see it that way. Nobody out there, you're really one of the few. There are others. But, Senator Ward, you're one of the few that are out there saying, you know, we need to look at sentencing and things like that, because if you had a competitive election, you know what they would be saying about you. Their argument would be you're weak on crime.
And what I would argue is, actually, I'm more fiscally conservative than anybody else, because I'm trying to save us money from going to a black hole. And also, I would argue that if Senators Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Governor Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich say it's the right thing to do, then I don't think I'm in a company with a bunch of weak-eyed liberals. I think I'm in a company of conservatives who realize we've got a broken system.
Well, the system is broke. Alabama's legislative system was an interesting one. I don't think any of the bills that you were pushing last time, I think, even got a shake. They weren't part of the mess at the end where they didn't want to come back.
I got caught up in the mess in the end on my Open Meetings Act. Literally had the bill in my hand. We had gotten it worked out. The parties were taken care of. We had a very good bill that had come back from the House.
Yeah, I want to talk, Senator Ward, I want to talk about that here in a few minutes, but what I want to stay on the prison thing for a second. Your prison stuff, tell the audience what you had planned and where it died and what the problem is.
Well, what the problem is, I want to look at actual sentencing reform itself. How do you deal with the sentencing guidelines and making sure it's more equitable? Good example, the Habitual Offender Act. Three strikes and you're out. It reads so good on a bumper sticker. The problem is you get a guy who commits three nonviolent felonies, and he's in life in prison, no chance parole. That's just a goofy system. There was never a victim involved, but now because of three strikes, he's going away, and in fact could stay there longer than someone who committed a violent crime like rape or murder. I mean, that's silly. We've got to reform that and change that. And if we didn't do it this year, Nick, I still say in 2015, if we don't do it, it's going to be a lot to pay for this state, Dale.
Do you think, this is a kind of a multi-part question, do you believe that in this election cycle, we've got Governor Bentley, we've got Stacey George, I don't know how much attention that primary is going to actually get. You got Parker Griffith and Kevin Bass on the other side. Will prison reform be a statewide issue in this election? Because I'll tell you, honestly, yeah. Senator Ward, before you answer, I'll tell you this, if it doesn't become an issue, I think we're going to have a problem here making it an issue in 2015. And here's why. Governor Bentley came on my program and said to me, listen, if they elect me, they're going to have to build a whole bunch of more prisons.
and I can tell you, I've gotten the Legislative Fiscal Office, which is a nonpartisan organization that handles all our financing for the legislature. They give us estimates, are kind of like our accountant. And they said, Cam, if you wanted to build to, instead of being at 192% capacity, if you wanted to build to 140% capacity, we would need to spend $625 to $650 million more dollars next year. And you have a $1.8 billion general fund budget. So if I were to go to the taxpayers and say, we're going to eliminate everything in state government except building new prisons, I would have bet you the taxpayers of the state think I fell off my rocker.
And that still wouldn't do enough.
It wouldn't get you there. And in 10 years, you and I, with either grayer or fewer hairs on our head, would be back on this same show having this same conversation about, well, what are we going to do because we're overcrowded again? That, in my opinion, is fiscally, you're going to have some construction. The problem is you have, Dale, you have 1942 facilities that can't provide adequate security for the public or the officers that are going to have to be built and replaced. But that won't increase your capacity. You're just replacing facilities that are no longer operational. So construction is a part of the solution, but again, I would say a small part of the solution. By itself, it will not be enough.
Before we switch off of prison, Senator Ward, and we take our first break, I want you to just ask you this question. There's a story on AL.com about Mississippi saved tens of millions of dollars on the prison health system by shifting some of their cost of burden to the federal government, but officials have concluded that that's not a feasible option here in the state of Alabama. States are allowed to claim federal funds when Medicaid-eligible prisoners spend time in hospitals. The impact in Alabama, where most prisoners don't qualify, would be minimal. Is this an argument to expand Medicaid? Is that what the basis of this is?
Mississippi's done this for a few years, but let me tell you, I think Mississippi is going to lose out legally on that. Medicaid was designed to help the indigent and disabled in society cover their health care benefits. However, give them health coverage. However, what Mississippi's done is they said, well, because this person's in prison, they don't have an income, therefore they're indigent, therefore they should be entitled to Medicaid. That is not what Medicaid was set up or designed to do. And that's kind of accounting trickery that I think is going to lead Mississippi to have some serious legal problems down the road. And we concluded that same thing here in Alabama when we looked at trying to do that, that it just legally we felt like that was going to be on very, very shaky ground.
Okay, so it was looked at. You guys just decided, yep. Or they decided rather, not to do it.
We felt like legally it wasn't possible, and that it wasn't a legal avenue. Mississippi just kind of ignored that and went ahead anyway. But now Mississippi's got a problem in that they're growing as fast as we are for their prison system, and they've yet to tackle it either. So maybe this was part of their way, just figured they'll roll the dice and take their chance. But I don't like taking risks like that where we're going to end up with a lot of litigation, a lot more money we don't have.
Very interesting. All right, Senator Cam Ward is with us. We're going to continue talking with him. I want to talk about the open meetings with you. I also want to talk about the teacher pay raise. We'll continue that with State Senator Cam Ward.
When we come back, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. News Time, 8:24. We continue with State Senator Cam Ward. Thanks for joining us, Senator Ward.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Dale.
Let's talk about what happened at the end of the session. There were two issues, I think, that involving you, at least, that we can talk about. There was the issue of the, I don't want to call it trickery, at the end of the session where the bill got passed with the education budget. Bentley was ready to force you guys to vote down a 2% pay raise for teachers, so the Senate decided they were going to close up shop instead, and your open meetings law died in the process. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. That and the lethal injection bill, which I was handling in the Senate, we can touch on that in a second as well. Yes, that's exactly what happened. And what was interesting is, I had some arguments about this. I am not convinced that either Senator Marsh or the governor read that move correctly. Because see, in order for there to be a 2% pay raise for us to vote on, there would have had to been a vehicle for him to send back to us. I don't think he had a vehicle. I mean, a vehicle being an individual bill. You can't just put it in the budget. There actually has to be a bill in place. The governor didn't have that. So I don't know how he was going to do it, but Senator Marsh was very concerned. He was opposed to the 2% pay raise, that it was going to come back to us, and that's when he immediately moved to sine die, which kind of caught a bunch of us by surprise. But, you know, those things happen sometimes.
Nobody wants to be on the record voting against a pay raise for teachers. That's what that's about.
Yeah, and they were worried about a controversial vote. That's exactly what it was.
Okay, so what was your open meetings law? What would it have done? What would it have accomplished?
In short, right now, the Supreme Court, through three cases, basically gutted the Open Meetings Act. They said that no one really in the state of Alabama has standing to sue unless you can show you have some financial benefit to gain or loss because of the act being violated. Two, it basically said that the Supreme Court said that the legislature in no way know how a subject to any part of the Open Meetings Act, which is totally incorrect. And three, it said that groups can have serial meetings, which is a serial meeting, as you know, is where I get two people together, make a decision, two people together, make a decision. Then we all walk out in one happy group and say, by the way, we've come to a vote and there's no debate in the public. The Supreme Court gutted that. Mine would have restored all the provisions which crack down on serial meetings, allow people to have standings, reinstate the fines. It reiterated the legislature subject to the act in certain instances. And literally I had the bill in my hand to concur with the House changes when he signed he died. So, and no, Senator Marsh didn't know I was trying to do that, but it was tough nonetheless because I worked on it for about 6 months, Dale.
So does this come up in 2015?
Oh, it'll definitely come up. I'm going to pre-file it, in fact. I mean, I think it's absolutely necessary because right now we're, one, operating on a very unknown legal grounds for any open meeting requirements. I think right now a municipality, a local governing board, or a county commission could meet and violate the Open Meetings Act, and there would be very little consequences for doing so. And that's bad. That's dangerous, and it erodes trust in the government system.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's move on to the other issue. I'll call it the old Sparky issue because that – or the big – what is it, Big Mama? A Big Yellow Mama, whatever you guys used to call it here. Yeah, in the state of Alabama, there's an electric chair. I assume it's still sitting somewhere. But here's what happened to the audience who may not know. Newspapers and other entities, and this has been a move by liberal groups across the country who are opposed to the death penalty. They have been seeking out the companies that provide the antiseptics and the anesthesia for death penalty cases, and then getting on them and making them require that nobody use their drugs in death penalty cases, which makes it a lot harder to carry out the death penalty. So you guys were, I guess, trying to shield those companies from being, I guess, disclosed so they could continue to sell the product without getting beat up by the public. I mean, that's how I see it. Maybe you have a little more nuanced view of it.
Yeah, I did have one thing that was a little different. Representative Greer from North Alabama, Florence area, he introduced a bill that provided for that confidentiality, which you're right, you have to have. There's only a few companies that do this anymore because the Europeans have refused to sell a few chemical compounds anymore for lethal injection. Mm-hmm. However, Representative Greer's bill did have one problem with it, and I feel like I got it fixed there in the end because we got an agreement on it. He had an issue where he basically said, under no circumstances, on any occasion, regardless of what's going on, would these companies be subject to any civil liability in Alabama. Now, I have a personal problem with anybody getting complete immunity coming into our state. I want them to maintain their confidentiality. But no one should have complete immunity from the law. I always have a real sticker with that. But we got it fixed. And we got it fixed, and I spent a couple hours at the microphone the last day going back and forth with some of the anti-death penalty advocates. They were never going to be happy anyway. So we decided we were going to get the votes for cloture. As the cloture petition was moving around, that's when we sine-died. So that was kind of a tough wrap.
So what does it mean for death penalty in the state of Alabama? Do the folks who want to kill it basically have a victory here? Or
yes, they have a victory.
Do we transition in the state of Alabama to the chair or what?
You can't go back to the chair. The only way you can go back to the chair, which is in essence what those who killed the bill did, those who spoke against it did, was you have to pass a new bill that says, either A, we're going to have that confidentiality provision, or B, we're going to go back to the electric chair. But what it does mean, and where your anti-death penalty advocates got a victory at, was now we can't carry out any executions because we're out of the chemicals. We can't carry out any executions until we pass a new law, and we don't go back in until March 2015.
All right, we're out of time with Cam Ward. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back. Stay tuned. I got some great giveaways. You're going to love it. Stay tuned for this. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. Thanks to Senator Cam Ward for joining us. It's the Dale Jackson Show. I'm a local news talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it.
It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN online at WVNN.com, and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time, 8:37 here on your Friday morning. It is Friday morning. You know what that means. It's time for our sweet deal. That's right. It's a real sweet deal. There's two ways you can get it. You can go to WVNN.com at 9 o'clock and get this sweet deal. Or we'll take caller number 3 right now. We'll hook you up. That's right. Caller number 3. We got two of these to give away. We'll give away one of them right now. Caller number 3. We'll hook you up. Here's what you get. You get a night stay at the Lake Guntersville State Park Lodge. That's right. Located along the banks of the Tennessee River, 45 minutes from Huntsville. They have an 18-hole championship golf course, full-service Pinecrest restaurant, fishing center, hiking trails, sights of nature's at its most pristine, and the views from the hotel are breathtaking as it sits atop Taylor Mountain. Let's talk to Jamie. Jamie is out there. Jamie's at the Lake Guntersville State Park Lodge, and she's very excited to talk to us this morning because they got a great deal, and they got great things going on. A $207 value available for you at 9 o'clock on WVNN.com for $89. Jamie, good morning. Tell us what we get.
Good morning, Dale. We're happy to do this. We are branching out a little bit so that you can bring your family. $89 gets you a one-night queen suite stay, and that will sleep up to 6 people. And again, this time of the year at the lake, at the park is beautiful. It's springtime. We're approaching summer. There's lots to enjoy with the hiking, the golf, and fishing, and a whole lot more.
All right, there you go. So you can check all this out on our website at WVNN.com. Click on the link that says Sweet Deal. So Lake Guntersville State Park Lodge, there's a lot of stuff to do there, right?
Yes, there's a lot to do, and I would like to mention specifically this Sunday, if you don't have Easter plans, we are having a special a Easter brunch, and we'll be having our prime rib and smoked ham, chicken and dressing, and lots of good stuff to go with that.
And along with the night's stay for $89, you'll also get a $25 gift card for the dining room, the Pinecrest Dining Room. Tell us about that restaurant.
That's right. Every Friday night, we have our seafood buffet, and we do fried catfish with hush puppies, crab legs, fried shrimp, frog legs, and all the fixings that go with that.
It's pretty amazing stuff here. So you go to the website, WVNN.com, click on the Sweet Deal link, and you're going to get hooked up. Jamie, thank you so much for checking in with us today. And I'm sure you look forward to checking in with some WVNN listeners when they come and visit you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Dale.
There you go. Lake Guntersville State Park Lodge, $89 and gets you a one-night queen suite stay, $25 dining credit for the Pinecrest Dining Room. The value's $207. That's right, $207 for $89, and that goes on sale at 9 o'clock this morning. Queen Suite sleeps up to 6 people. It includes twin queen beds and a sleeper sofa. So check out the beauty of the spring and summer at Lake Guntersville State Lodge. Hiking, golf, swimming pool, so much more. Go see my friends at the Lake Guntersville State Park Lodge. But get yourself a great deal at WVNN.com. Sweet deals. Sweet deals. WVNN.com. Click on the sweet deal. Now, I gave away one of the passes, correct? You gave away one of them. Jason's looking at me very frustratingly, so we'll give you away another one right now. We have two of them, so we'll give you another one as well. So we only got one left, obviously. So we'll give it to caller number, I don't know, let's pick one out of thin air. Caller number four. Caller number four right now. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. And this is a great opportunity here to check this out at a great price. And I always try to give you guys the best deals here at WVNN. We have been able to do so regularly. So if you don't get in here and you're not caller number four, don't despair. Do not despair. Because at 9 o'clock, you can go to WVNN.com, and it will hook you up. That's what we do. That's what we do at WVNN. How often do we got to hook you guys up? Go check it out, WVNN.com. All right, we got our winners. So, Jason, go ahead and pick the winner there, and we will be set. Congratulations to those of you who have won, and we will get you guys your passes. So congratulations on all of that. We got stuff to talk about today. Hey, did you know Parker Griffith was a Tea Party expert? Did anyone know Parker Griffith was a Tea Party expert? If you didn't know that, he wants to remind you, he's a Tea Party expert. Yes, yes, yes. Our good friend, the good doctor, Parker Griffith, who we've reached out to have on the show again, we'll see if he comes on, is now running for governor. He's running for governor as a Democrat, and if you listen to him talk, you would think that this guy had been a lifelong member of the Republican Party. Pushed out by those evil and nasty Tea Party members. Just listen to him. Listen to him speak. We have the audio for you. We can share that for you in a little bit, but I'll just quote it to you right now. Quote, if we turn this state over to the Tea Party, we will never get it back in your lifetime. If you can't get madder, then damn it, we're going to turn it back over to them. Remember how mad you were at me? I want you to get that off the couch and go for it. He said, kicking off a series of short speeches from 21 candidates for federal, state, and local officials that looked like they were made in a trailer park somewhere if you watch the video. The theme of the night, you're special if you're still a Democratic candidate in Alabama. Now, let me offer up an alternate theory. You're a loser if you're a Democratic candidate in Alabama. But Parker Griffith won't tell you that. Instead, he's going to tell you, you got to fight these Tea Parties. I want you to get as mad at them as you were at me. The event was called Hot Dogs and Yellow Dogs. And I got to give some props to my friends at AL.com. Kudos to them for covering this event. I hope this sets a trend for them, because I put a couple hundred people in a bar for Pints and Politics, and I don't see AAL.com anywhere near there. You put a bunch of people in the backyard of some Democratic event, and they're going to come and they're going to show up. And I kid you not on that. This took place in the backyard of some lady's house. Okay? This is not a joke. This is not conjecture. There is a video, and I tell you, once again, it took place in the backyard of somebody's house. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Pop me up over there, Jason. Let me give you a little audio of the good doctor standing on the back porch, and by back porch, I mean about six stones, with two microphones and some cameras and about 30 people surrounding him. This is the good doctor from his own website. Jason, pop me up.
The doctor said he was not a member of any organized political party. He was a Democrat. We can see why that's important today. When we look over this crowd, we're looking at what Alabama looks like. That's the huge difference between us and the Republican Party. I've been in both of them. I know.
Okay. We'll get into a little bit more of that here in a second, but it is hilarious. I've been in both of them. That is correct. Congressman Parker Griffith has been in both parties. He has been a Republican. He's been a Democrat. Twice. He's been an independent. He claimed he spoke to the Tea Party, spoke for the Tea Party at one point. He's been a mayoral candidate, a state senator. He's been a congressman, a two-time failed congressional candidate. And now he's out there telling you about how the Koch brothers are going to rob your democracy. What would an election year be without Parker Griffith? Stay tuned. I'll play you some more of this video. It's some pretty good stuff there, and we appreciate him putting all this on video and then releasing it. Real smart, real smart. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. Hey folks, Dale Jackson here from the Friends of the Maids. I'm constantly telling you about the Maids, how they're more than just a cleaning service, how you have a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and how the four persons Maids team come in their little yellow car, and there's joy in your home when the little yellow car shows up and the Maids get to cleaning. It doesn't take long to get your home spick and span, top to bottom, side to side. So remember, if you're ever unsatisfied with anything the Maids might be doing, which you never will, but if you are ever unsatisfied with anything the Maids might be doing, they'll come back and they'll make it right. That's how great they are. And I'll tell you, I was a little embarrassed this week when the Maids came. You know why? Because my house was super messy. I made a giant mess right before they got there, and I felt really bad about it. Really, really bad about it. But I came back, and the house was clean. That's what they're all about. They're clean. Call them. They're locally owned and operated. Call David. Call Kathy. Call the Maids and find out what they can do for you and when they can schedule you. Whether you want them once a week, once every 2 weeks, they have all sorts of scheduling options available, and it grants you the gift of time to spend with your friends and family. So check them out online at themaids.com. That's themaids.com. You need to call them at their Huntsville location, serving all of the Tennessee Valley. 256-534-1100. That's 256-534-1100. And remember, folks, nobody beats the Maids. Nobody. So when you call my friends the Maids, make sure you tell them Dale Jackson sent you. All right, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time, 8:51 here on your Friday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. The phone number is 1-866-494-WVNN. Talk about Parker Griffith. This guy gets it. This guy knows about the Tea Party. This guy knows exactly what makes him tick. I mean, he's been in them. He's been in them. Former mayoral candidate. Former state senator, congressman, two-time failed congressional candidate, former Democrat, former Republican, former independent, now Democratic again, this time candidate for governor. He knows how scary you Tea Party people are, and he's going to tell you. I mean, he's going to be screaming into a microphone in front of like 12 people, but he is going to tell you. And AL.com, they're going to run out there, and they're going to cover this thing like there is no tomorrow. So if he's going to say dumb things, I guess we'll cover it too. Jason, pop me up over there. Let's listen to more of what the good doctor has to say. Hopefully he'll say something about the tea parties.
We are now the dominant party. We look like America. We look like Alabama.
By the way, we are now the dominant party. Okay. We are now the dominant party. Parker Griffith on Democrats. So obviously he knows Democrats, proving that he knows Democrats as well as he knows the Tea Party. Good job for him. We know we are the dominant party.
Alabama, and we need to come out to vote and support these candidates. For somebody to step up and run in Alabama as a Democrat today, it took courage. The spouses of those candidates, wives and husbands, I want to say to you, thank you for allowing them to do it. We're gonna run on three major issues. First of all, we've got to create jobs. In order to create jobs, we've got to have a healthy Alabama. The first day of my administration, we will call a special session to expand Medicaid. While we are there, we're going to allow the people in Alabama to vote on a lottery for education.
Education lottery, Medicaid expansion. This guy is going down in flames. But I absolutely am thrilled by it and enthralled by all of this.
We have got to have a healthy Alabama. We've got to have an educated Alabama. And we've got to be able to create jobs. Now, we have a current administration, both in the executive branch and in the legislative branch, that are afraid of the Tea Party. The Tea Party is bought and paid for by the Koch brothers and billionaires from out of state.
Does he believe this kind of mantra works on Alabamians? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think that they kind of just scoff this off. But he clearly believes it. He also believes we are now the dominant party in the state, so who knows?
If we turn this state over to the Tea Party, we will never get it back in your lifetime. This is a critical and important election. I've seen them, and they're worse than you think they are.
I love it. I've seen the Tea Party, and they are worse than you think they are. I mean, these people are horrible. Remember when we used to see town halls where people would stand up and say, "We want our country back." And they would stand up and ask their representatives questions and they would yell at them. And we were told that the rhetoric was just so horrible and so awful and so just bad. Now we have a guy running for governor saying that the people in this country, Tea Party members, are more horrible than you think they are.
Back in your lifetime. This is a critical and important election. I've seen them. And they're worse than you think they are. I know them very well. Let me say to you today that I am going to be dedicated to this campaign. We have been all over the state already. I am determined to preach the message of the kitchen tables.
Did I not call that yesterday, Jason? Did I not call that yesterday? Did I not call that he would be out there talking about kitchen tables and things like this. This is one of his strong points. It's a strong point. I mean, I'm not being critical of the good doctor. It's one of his strong points.
I am determined to preach the message of the kitchen tables of Alabama, the children of Alabama. When we look across those tables into the eyes of our grandchildren and our children, and we have turned them over to the legislature in Montgomery, and we've watched them attack women, Blacks, Hispanics.
Oh, I love it. He couldn't bring himself to say, this is actually the best part of the whole thing. I missed this the first time around. He's running down the grievance industry and he can't say it. He wanted to say gays. Let's see what he says.
And we've watched them attack women, Blacks, Hispanics. What in the world are we doing?
I love it. I love it. We've watched him tag. Parker Griffin. You want to talk about this guy? Isn't a dummy. He is not a dumb politician. You can tell. You got to see the video. The video is classic. The video is absolutely classic because he's got his hand in the air and he wants. Oh, it's beautiful.
Them attack women, Blacks, Hispanics. What in the world are we doing sitting on the couch watching the evening news and not being so damn mad? I want y'all to get as mad at them as y'all were at me.
Yeah, you suck. All right.
If you can't get madder, then damn it, we're going to turn it back over to them.
So remember how mad you were at me? Well, I want to get that off the couch and go for it.
I love this guy. I love that he could not bring himself to say the gay thing. I love it. Because that's what it was. He was running down the list of grievance classes in the state of Alabama. The grievance business. He was hitting it. He was hitting it. Man, this guy was playing some Democratic politics pretty well. But he could not bring himself to mention the gays. I love that. I absolutely love it. Now, again, I'm probably more liberal than Parker Griffith is on some of the social issues. But, man, you know he wanted to play that because that is right in the wheelhouse of Democrats. You know that whole victimology, victimization mentality is big and strong in Alabama politics, and he just couldn't bring himself to do that. I absolutely love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Don't forget, folks, this week's show is over. You can still listen to me a little bit later today at 10 o'clock. Now go download the WVNN app while you're there. Download the WAPI app. I'm on 10 to 1 there if you want to check me out. Also, don't forget WVNN.com while you're there. Go to WVNN.com. Click on the sweet deal. That's right, the sweet deal today. Lake Gunnersville State Park Lodge. Valid one-night stay in a queen suite with two queen beds and a sleeper sofa that sleeps up to six, plus a $25 dining credit at the Pinecrest Dining Room. Those things go on sale here in about a minute. Be the first to jump on your phone or your internet device or your computer at work, wherever you are. And you can print that on demand, by the way. It's up, and it will start here in just a few minutes. And they will sell out. They will sell out, and they will sell out quick. And while you're there, go check out the other stuff on the website as well. There's a lot of them, and there's always good stuff going on. I don't have any more to give away to you, but I enjoyed giving two of those away earlier today. So congratulations to our winners earlier today. I hope you guys have a great Easter weekend. Again, I'm still looking. I've got some suggestions about where to go see the Stations of the Cross tonight. If you got them, you can email me, dale@wvnn.com. Don't forget, sweet deal of the week, Lake Gunnersville State Park Lodge, wvnn.com. See ya.